Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really getting into something pivotal, where tech and life sciences are meeting, specifically AI in biology.
Yeah, it's a hot area. We've got some great material to work with today, mainly from that AI X Bio Intelligence Meets Biology event back in April.
Right, the one co-organized by LifeX Ventures, who are, you know, definitely thought leaders here, along with Bits and Bio and Fenwick, seems like it was a really important conversation. We have a summary transcript from the conference, too.
Exactly. And our mission today really is to pull out the key insights. What do venture capitalists and startup founders actually need to know right now in this space?
Yeah. What are the real trends, the roadblocks, and where are the opportunities? Especially thinking about how firms like LifeX Ventures are approaching this.
So we're planning to break it down. We'll look at foundation models in biology, what they even are in this context. Then data. Always critical. It's availability, quality, strategy.
Okay. And then infrastructure. What kind of computing power are we talking about?
Definitely. Infrastructure is key. And finally, we'll get practical and talk business models. How do you actually make money with AI-driven biotech?
Sounds like a plan. Okay, let's start with that first piece, foundation models. What were they actually saying about these in a biological context? Is it just like ChatGPT for proteins?
Well, not quite. But the core idea is a shift. You know, traditionally, machine learning was very task-specific. You'd get data for one job, train a model for that job.
Right, like spotting tumors in scans.
Exactly. Foundation models are different. They're trained on these massive, often messy, unstructured data sets. The hope or expectation is that they learn broadly enough to handle lots of different tasks later on, tasks you didn't even plan for initially.
Okay. So it's less about designing for one specific output
and
more about building a broad underlying capability.
Precisely. And this leads to something really fascinating. They discussed emergent properties.
Emergent properties, meaning capabilities the model develops on its own.
Yeah, exactly. Things that sort of pop up that weren't explicitly baked in. They mentioned large language models being able to link x-rays to medical text, even without direct training on that specific link. It just emerges from the vast data.
Wow. Okay. That sounds powerful, especially when you think about the complexity of biology.
It really is. Think about like all the interactions in a cell. The potential data is staggering, but there's a catch.
There always is. What's the catch?
Well, the panelists pointed out that while the potential biodata is huge, actually generating good data, cleaning it up, figuring out if it's even useful, that's way harder than grabbing text off the internet.
Okay, so the raw material isn't as readily available or usable as all the text data that trained GPT-4.
Right. So it's a challenge. Which brings us to the question where we actually stand. Do we have true foundation models in bio yet? AlphaFold kept coming up.
Yeah, I saw that. DeepMind's protein folding model. Is it considered the benchmark?
It seems to be. It was mentioned frequently as maybe the only real example right now, specifically because of its emergent ability to predict structures so accurately.
Interesting. So that sparked debate, I assume, about where things go next.
Oh, yeah. Big debate. Do we focus on building lots of highly specialized models for specific biological domains? You know, one for genomics, one for proteomics. Or do we shoot for these huge general purpose models that try to understand everything?
And that matters a lot if you're deciding where to invest, right? Niche versus broad platform place.
Absolutely. It's a core strategic question for VCs and founders right now.
What about combining different data types? Genomics, imaging, patient records? Multimodal models.
That's definitely seen as the future by many. The potential is huge if you can integrate all these different views of biology. But there was also a pragmatic voice saying, hang on, maybe we need to get really good at modeling single data types first.
Master the basics before you try to combine everything.
Makes sense. Build that solid foundation first.
Now, Vanta AI was mentioned. How do they fit into this? Are they building one of these big general models?
They're a great example of a more focused approach, actually. They're building what they call an all-atom foundation model, but it's specifically for generating protein structures with small molecules bound to them.
Okay, so very specific application.
Very specific. They're using terabytes of data to tackle induced proximity, finding molecules that bring proteins together or push them apart. It really highlights that VC dilemma. Bet on the broad vision or on a specific data-intensive application like Vanta's that solves a clear problem.
Right. Okay, that's a good transition into the whole data question itself. It sounds like it underlies everything here.
It absolutely does. AI is data hungry, and in biology, data is complicated.
How so? What were the main issues raised at the conference?
Well, a huge one is just getting access. Data silos are everywhere. Organizations, understandably, hoard their valuable data sets.
Right. They see it as a competitive advantage. Plus, there's HIPAA pay and patient privacy concerns, especially in the U.S.
Exactly. There isn't really a robust data economy in biology like you see in, say, finance, where data sharing is more common and structured. People are nervous about giving away their edge or falling foul of regulations.
So as an investor, you're thinking about how companies overcome that. How do they get the data they need?
That's a key diligence question. And one strategy that came up repeatedly is generating proprietary data.
Building your own unique data set.
Precisely. They mentioned Noetic actually buying human cancer tissue to build a data set nobody else had. That's how you create a defensible advantage.
Okay, so data generation and ownership are crucial for startups. But it's not just about having data. It's about good data, right?
Yeah.
Quality must be an issue.
Oh, a massive issue. Think about genotype-phenotype data, trying to link genes to traits. It's notoriously noisy, full of confounding factors.
So the raw data might not be clean enough for the AI to learn effectively.
It can definitely limit things. And this ties into another point, self-supervised learning, where the model learns from the data itself without explicit labels, might have limitations in biology because the ground truth isn't always clear or available.
What do you mean? You need more effort put into actually labeling and curating the data.
Exactly. High quality data annotation becomes incredibly important. And that, you know, could be an investment opportunity in itself, companies specializing in biodata curation.
Interesting. And this idea of black box data came up too. What's that about?
Yeah, that was intriguing. Vanta AI's protein interaction data was the example. It's data generated maybe from simulations or high throughput experiments that isn't immediately intuitive to a human biologist looking at it.
So not like looking at a gel or microscope image.
Right. But it contains signals that the machine learning model can understand and use to predict complex stuff. It kind of challenges our idea of what useful data looks like. Maybe we need to generate data for the AI, not just for human eyes.
That could shift how experiments are designed.
Potentially, yeah. And one final point on data they made was about depth versus breadth.
Meaning
just having more data isn't always the answer. Sometimes adding more detail or richness to your existing data, like adding germline mutation info alongside tumor mutations, can give you much bigger insights than just doubling the number of samples with basic info.
So quality and depth over sheer quantity. For investors, that means looking closely at a company's actual data strategy, not just the size of their database.
You got it. It's about the relevance and richness.
Okay, let's shift gears to infrastructure. These models, especially foundation models, sound computationally expensive.
Immensely so. We're not talking about running things on a laptop. The conference mentioned entities needing hundreds, sometimes thousands, of high-end GPUs.
Wow. Okay, so that immediately brings up the cloud versus on-premise debate. Where does this kind of heavy lifting happen?
That's the million-dollar question. Cloud offers that scalability, flexibility, spin up GPUs when you need them, but biopharma has traditionally been hesitant.
Why the hesitation? Security, data ownership.
All of the above. There's a strong preference, historically, for keeping sensitive data in-house, on-prem. Concerns about who truly owns the data in the cloud, security breaches, and especially navigating IPA compliance. Mm-hmm. It makes many companies nervous.
Even though cloud providers offer high IPA compliant services and strong security.
Perception matters. There's often a feeling of more control with on-prem, even if it's less flexible or scalable. It's a hurdle the cloud providers are constantly working to overcome in this sector.
So it's a trade-off. What about platforms like AWS Bedrock? Are they changing the game?
They could. The idea behind Bedrock and similar platforms is to make accessing various foundation models easier, more like an API call. If they start hosting robust biological models, it could lower the barrier to entry significantly.
Democratizing access potentially.
Exactly. Especially for smaller biotechs that can't afford huge internal infrastructure builds.
We also heard about the CEO roundtable on cancer's journey. What did that illustrate?
It was a really practical example. They started leveraging cloud, partly through a partnership with SAS, but now they're exploring moving the inference part, using the trained model on new data back on-prem, especially when dealing directly with sensitive partner data from pharma companies.
So hybrid approach. Training in the cloud, maybe, but applying the model on-prem for certain use cases.
It shows that the infrastructure choice isn't always binary or static. It evolves depending on the task, the data sensitivity, the partnerships involved. It's about finding the right tool or combination of tools for the job.
Right. Okay, that covers infrastructure. Let's get to the final piece. business models. How do companies actually turn all this cool AI tech into a viable business in the biotech world?
Yeah, the crucial question. And there's a fundamental split in strategies discussed at the conference. Are you selling AI tools and services, or are you using AI to build your own drug pipeline?
Services versus therapeutics.
Right. And the point was made that the market for just selling computational chemistry services, for example, might be limited. There's only so much demand for pure simulation work.
So developing your own drugs might have a higher ceiling, but obviously carries more risk and cost.
Huge risk, long timelines. So what's gaining traction? Partnerships seem key.
Partnering with bigger pharma companies.
Exactly. Early stage AI bio companies striking deals with pharma. It does a few things. Brings in non-dilutive revenue, which is great. It helps validate the AI platform. If big pharma is willing to pay for it, it must have some value.
And crucially, it can give access to data.
That's often the biggest prize. Pharma companies have vast amounts of proprietary data, especially valuable in vivo or clinical data that startups could never generate on their own. Harmonic Discovery was mentioned as a company doing this well.
So for VCs, seeing those kinds of partnerships is a good sign. De-risks the investment.
Definitely. It shows market validation and a path to critical data.
There was also this interesting phrase, biotech as selling hope. How does AI fit into that?
Huh, yeah. It's kind of true, right? Especially early stage. You're selling the potential of your science, your platform, to investors and potential pharma partners.
So the idea is AI helps you make that hope more tangible, more valuable.
Precisely. AI can accelerate discovery, find novel targets, maybe generate more compelling preclinical data. It amplifies the perceived value. You might use it to create platform envy, showing off capabilities others don't have, or to generate promising molecules you can then license or sell.
Okay. What about just being a data or services player, like in broader health tech?
That model exists, but the conference noted challenges specifically in pharma. Market size for pure services might be capped, and pharma sales cycles are notoriously long and complex. It's not an easy route.
So is there another way, beyond pure service or full pipeline development?
One other approach mentioned was kind of backward integration. Instead of building a massive platform and hoping drugs eventually fall out, you start with a specific disease or therapeutic hypothesis. Then you use AI and targeted data generation specifically to test that hypothesis and bridge the gap to a potential drug.
More focused, maybe faster.
Potentially faster and more capital efficient. It's less about the platform itself and more about using the tools to answer a specific biological question quickly. At the end of the day, you need a clear strategy for creating value in this very specific ecosystem.
Okay, wow. We've covered a lot of ground. Yeah. So just to quickly recap, foundation models hold huge promise in biology, but they're still evolving.
Yeah, and they're completely dependent on data, which is both the biggest opportunity and the biggest challenge, dealing with access, quality, and strategy.
Infrastructure choices are critical. Balancing the need for massive compute with security and data ownership concerns. Cloud, on-prem, hybrid.
Yeah.
It's complex.
And finally, business models need to be smart. Partnerships are vital. Leveraging AI to enhance that hope factor, and maybe exploring more focused, hypothesis-driven approaches alongside broader platform plays.
It feels like we're at a really interesting inflection point.
Definitely. Which makes you wonder, right? With AI advancing so fast and our ability to generate biodata growing, what new business models haven't we thought of yet? How do we really crack the data sharing and regulatory nuts?
Maybe things like data cooperatives. Or new kinds of risk-sharing deals between tech and pharma, driven by AI insights.
Could be. Perhaps models where value is shared based on AI-predicted success probabilities. It's fertile ground for innovation.
Absolutely. A really fascinating thought to leave folks with. We definitely encourage you, the listener, to dig deeper into the work being done by thought leaders like LifeX Ventures and the discussions from that AIX bio event. Think about how these trends impact your own strategies, whether you're investing or building.
Yeah, ask yourselves, where do you stand on the general versus specialized model debate in biology? And what role will synthetic data or that black box data play in speeding up discovery? Lots to chew on.
Indeed. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive.